This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster, my podcast.
And gadzooks, it's week two of Beholder Fest 2017.
There's a monster in my podcast.
You thought it would end in 1 week.
We thought it would too, but the book is too good.
It's very good. let's get into this tossed salad and the scrambled egg.
Let's get inside these heads, by which I mean the entirety of them.
Yep. It's time to stick a beholder on your weird, specially rounded couch. Find out about their basic beliefs.
Yeah. Keep some tissues around, because them tears will wash you away.
Just one gigantic tear coming out of like the gigantic eye.
Yeah. Let's start with the psychology, which is kind of summarized by these basic beliefs, these broad sentences that apply to every beholder.
Well, here's a weird little meta thing about this. Is that these things are very similar to the basic like belief things that you roll up in fifth edition.
Oh,
like in fifth edition, like monsters in that, like, you know, Volo's guide, monsters manual, they have these kind of like things on a chart, like six different statements you can have guide your character and you roll them. And these are very similar to that.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like weirdly ahead of its time in a meta way.
Yeah. But this underlines the many, many defects of the beholder. I must say the beholder race, but I've started feeling very upset about that.
Yeah, this whole thing, like, we are talking about beholders this entire time.
Yes.
Yeah. This is not a metaphor for anyone, except possibly, like, shitty white nerds.
Right. So, like, the first and core one is, I represent the ideal. And the corollary to that is, nothing that is not ideal has a right to exist. It exists only for my purposes.
Yes. These are like successories.
Yeah.
For beholders. Like, I'm imagining like a picture of like five beholders skydiving holding eye stalks, and then this like written under it. Yeah.
There are a bunch of eyes in this team.
Yeah. But there's no team in this eye. Like, knowledge is power.
Of course.
Yeah. Pretty standard, pretty relatable.
Yeah. So they must do this. Some will go as far as to raise entire countrysides in search of information.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Because it is necessary to acquire knowledge at any cost. I have knowledge that others do not. Some of these ignorant creatures are of the ideal breed. Therefore, others of the ideal breed are out to get me. So this is showing they are paranoid.
Yes. The core of the paranoia. Like, even going back to like everything only exists for my purposes. Like, they will twist and turn to make sure that they are always the ones who are right in this equation.
Yes, I know people that are like that when you talk to them. They're secret beholders. They categorize people into these different subsets.
Yes.
Of things.
Yeah.
So when they meet something, they immediately, it's like, this is like the How to Make Friends and Influence People, like book four beholders.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you know, this is like that guy who kept the Excel spreadsheet of people he'd met.
Ugh.
You know, it's like that, but for beholders. So when you meet somebody, they're either powerful. Okay. It's like giants and gods and fiends and stuff.
Yeah.
Dangerous. Which is different than powerful. Like, it's worth
powerful is like, oh, I should probably help them out. I will get something dangerous as I need to avoid them.
Yes. Or need to destroy them because humans are in this, demi-humans, things like that.
Yeah.
Usable. So this is like your kobold, orcs, and giant, controllable giant insects.
and your more sociable of horses.
Yes.
Basically,
your Mr. Zeds and your hots to trot.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like anything that can make up its dungeon ecology, right? Like, oh, there are like gelatinous cubes in here. They can just give them a place and, you know, set them out.
Yeah. Then weirdly, this section is broken up by a paragraph that goes across the entire page for some reason. Like, this is where the layout gets bad. On demented beholders.
Right. And we mentioned that in the first episode, I think, like any beholder who has abandoned one of these core tenets will not like thrive in a different community, but they will be shunned from their, from their like kind, their cities and such, because they, you know, save somebody's life because they acted against the Randian ideal.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So then we move on back on our categorizations. Inferior, creatures I have nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
So this includes like things you maybe wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
Like this is like, you know, skeletons, gargoyles, gremlins, shit like that.
Yeah.
Many types of oversized insects and lizard men, strangely.
Yeah.
Like lizard men are not useful.
No, they're just demi humans. I think lizard men are too individualistic.
I think that's probably, and also not inherently evil. Like lizard men are like proud people that, you know, have their own culture and stuff.
They're tribal metaphors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then inconsequential.
Right.
Which unless they're food. Hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're hungry, they'll eat it. If they're not hungry, they avoid it.
Right.
And this pays off in a big bad way during this next section on how to survive against a beholder.
I love these things because it just goes from like way too complex and they can see through it down to dead simple. And you better hope that they don't think too hard.
The stupidest thing no one would ever think of.
Right.
Like no one in a million years would think of doing this. And if you did this and your DM lets you get away with it, they're a fucking moron. It's the worst. So you can say, you can try to act all big,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, hey, I'm very powerful. I didn't come to confront you. I came to exchange knowledge.
Yeah.
And then they will probably see through you and probably betray you.
Yeah. Or, you know, you will lie to them with this quote unquote knowledge that you have and they will eat you anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't see through it, they'll go get the treasure that you want in exchange for knowledge and you run.
Yeah.
Amazing. I just ran into a beholder that looked almost exactly like you, except it has stripes on its flanks.
This one seems like the most likely to work to me. Like, hey, that guy over there said you're a jerk because
not just that. Like, hey, there's another guy who's an inferior, like,
yeah.
looks a little bit like you. But he's not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got, you know, brown hair instead of blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Like go take care of him.
Yeah.
And, you know, this probably works.
Probably.
It seems like too, unless they know that you're lying.
Yeah. Master, I live only to serve you, which is just surrendering.
Yeah. Cause they can make you do that no matter what. They can charm person at will.
Right. Right.
So like, okay.
And then finally, the one that is the dumbest, squawk, cluck, 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 cluck.
Yes, which this book seems to think is a good idea. Despite its silly overtones, this trick might have the best chance of succeeding. If an adventurer can persuade a beholder that he's actually a polymorphed animal, the beholder may categorize him as inferior or inconsequential, those are with capital eyes, and leave him alone. On the other hand, the beholder might just be hungry and decide to eat the character. Like,
always, I feel like always assume it's hungry.
Yeah, like, why? I mean, the beholder like is maybe not hungry, but like, how many polymorphed people is this beholder running into?
Mm.
You know, just like I'm constantly running into people like they're chickens that are shaped like people and dressed like them too. Like this is like the kind of thing you get committed for.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the clerk down at the gas station is not a person. He's a chicken. Like this is what Breakfast of Champions is about.
Oh, of course.
Like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then we get the split between the rational mind and the intuitive mind, which is, you know, instead of having a superego, ego, and id, they have their coldly logical, I'm going to make a plan and stick to it and and pursue this knowledge. And then everything that is bubbling and undermining that beneath it.
Yes. Yeah. So the in their rational mind, they have it has this whole chart. Like you've seen those charts where it's like it's somebody's brain and like pizza is a big part and. You know, bacon is a big part, those kind of like jokey things.
Right.
It's like that, you know, paranoia is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. So like what a miserable existence. Theories about missing memory, theories about odd emotional states.
Yep.
Like, why did that make me cry? Got some theories.
My favorite one here though is partial memory of failing.
Yeah. That's very good.
Like, without the protection of his intuitive mind, a beholder's sanity would snap in the face of data that contradicted its own self-understanding.
Yeah, because in the intuitive mind,
mm-hmm.
they have the complete memories of failures, along with suppressed memories, suppressed knowledge, and theories that might shatter the rational mind.
Yep, we're just going to put this down here in the safe. Put this logic bomb down here in the safe. That way it doesn't take out the whole house.
Like all you need to do to take out an entire village of these is get fucking Dr. Noreen Reardon, my therapist.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.